Well, we're continuing in our study of Corinthians, letters to the Corinthians, and we're in 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 2. We're going to start with the 5th verse. If you want to turn there or look up on screen again, I encourage you to bring your Bibles, even though we put the passage up on the overhead, because when you have your own Bible, you can underline or write a note or maybe mark something that you have a question about. Again, don't take my word, take God's word. And if what I say here doesn't conform with what we read there, make sure you talk to me about it. Because if I can't explain it, then I need to change what I'm saying. Okay. Well, let's take a look. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you. To some extent, not to put it too severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. The reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your blessing. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, you are the one who inspired the Bible writers and caused them to write these letters, these books, these prayers, these psalms, so that we might know your will. Father, we pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit right now to give us supernatural understanding. Lord, because if we look at your word with the wisdom of man, it just bounces. But Lord, when the Holy Spirit opens up our hearts and our minds, you give us understanding. And you show us how to apply your word today. Lord, we come before you seeking to be closer to you today and every day. Lord, we want to walk in your footsteps. We want to be followers of Christ. We want to be children of the Heavenly Father. Lord, in order to do that, we need to know your will. So reveal it to us in your word. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I come and preach this morning. Lord, that what I speak would be through the infilling and overflow of the Holy Spirit, that it wouldn't be me speaking, but that you speaking through me. Lord, I pray that what I preach would be according to your will and your purpose. And Lord, any word that might come out of my mouth, which is not according to your will and purpose, which somehow is contrary to your teaching, Lord, may it be as if it's never been spoken. May it fall upon deaf ears. May people only hear what is of you. Father, we pray for those who aren't here with us this morning. We pray your hand of blessing and healing to be upon those who are ill. Lord, we pray that you would encourage and bless them. That you would bring physical healing to those who are sick. Lord, that you would bring spiritual and emotional comfort to each person who can't be here. Each person who's suffering trials and difficulties, and these things are keeping them from being here to worship. Lord, might they know that they are in our prayers. Oh, Father, be he in our midst now. Let your name be lifted up and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is kind of an interesting section. Here, Paul again is dealing with another trouble or difficulty that has come from his letter that he wrote. When 1 Corinthians he had written, and there were people who were coming against him. People that were saying Paul is the one that needed to be taken to task and were trying to raise up the church in Corinth against Paul. And Paul wrote, standing on his apostleship and standing on the Word of God. And he spoke that discipline needed to be brought for the purpose of correction. And it was brought. And this person or persons who had been leading the charge against Paul ended up being the one who received church discipline. Now we need to remember what the purpose of church discipline is. It's not to make somebody feel bad. The purpose of church discipline is to correct and encourage somebody to a godly behavior. The purpose isn't to bring pain and suffering. It's to bring restoration and love and God's blessing. This is the purpose. Now, in and of ourselves, I don't know about you, but when I find out that somebody who had been giving me problems ends up getting in trouble, part of me inside goes, yeah. Anybody else do that, or am I the only fallen person here? Okay. Well, here we see Paul writing saying, you know, he's had enough. You don't have to be, you know, grinding him down for my benefit. I'm not going to, you know, forgive. He has repented. This guy has turned from the way he was going, and now forgive him. Instead of Paul encouraging them to maybe, you know, get just a little bit more discipline on him, you know. That wasn't what he did. He said, forgive him. What you forgive, I forgive. And, you know, even if there was anything to forgive, like, when he's forgiven, it's gone. Many of us, we have a place where we put problems that we've forgiven people. It's called the ready access drawer. That we open up that drawer every time we have another difficulty, some other point in time. In counseling, I call that the history. And many of us, when we get in difficulties, instead of really truly forgiving like God forgives, like throws it away, never to remember, you know, it's as far from the east as from the west, we have this ready access drawer we pull open and we go, oh, look, I'm mad at you for what you're doing today, but look, you did this, 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 and this, this too. And Paul's going, forget. You know, if there was even anything to forget, it's gone. That ready access drawer? We're not supposed to have that in our lives. Okay, when we forgive, boom, gone. Paul's giving it up and he's showing us how right here. The point of discipline is to lead to repentance, which leads to forgiveness, which leads to restoration. Paul's all for welcoming this guy back in and saying, bring him back. Don't run him off. He's a brother in Christ. See, the point of the discipline was restoration. That's what we're going for. And in between, there has to be repentance by the person whom the discipline comes against. But on the same point, when there's repentance, there has to be forgiveness on the church's part, on our parts as individuals. So while the discipline is needed in order to bring the correction, bring that spirit of repentance, forgiveness and restoration is also needed so that Satan can't get in there. What? What are you talking about? Why would Satan be involved in church discipline? Because he's an opportunist. You see, if we abuse anything, Satan's right there to try to either whisper in our ear and say, "Hey, you messed up, you're bad, you're no good, give it up." Or maybe they'll just encourage you to continue in your going forward. You know, "Hey, that person really deserves to get a little bit more. They haven't been quite sorry enough." Why does Satan tell us those things? To try to get us to go too far. And then when we do that, instead of bringing correction, what we're doing is we're bringing punishment and pain. "I'm going to punish you." Okay? The difference that I see between discipline and punishment is the purpose of punishment is to make you pay. To make you sorry that you ever crossed. That's not what discipline is about. Discipline is to bring repentance, to change the heart. So we say, you know, "Yeah, I'm sorry that I did that. I shouldn't have done that," but not make me sorry that I know you, sorry that I was ever here, sorry that I ever entered the church. Because when the church brings that kind of discipline against somebody or acts that way, it's punishing them. It's just beating somebody up with the Bible. And guess what? That's wrong. And Paul's telling us that Satan's standing there in the wings so he can take advantage of those situations. He schemes and plans to try to manufacture those situations when he can. But he's an opportunist and he's going to jump in there when we let him. If we allow ourselves, our selfish natures to get in there and say, to allow needless pain and suffering into somebody's life in the name of discipline, what we have done is we've opened a door for Satan to come in and cause division and dissension within the house of God. And guess what? He likes to do that. That's his plan. That's his scheme. And Paul's saying, you know, we know Satan's trying to do this. We know his plans. His plan is to disrupt the church. His plan is to get between us and God. You see, he can't snatch us out of God's hand, but if he can get us to walk away from God and to walk away from the blessings, you know, and to turn others off from God so that they say, "If that's what a Christian is, I want nothing to do with it," he figures that's a good day. See, he can't do it, but he can trick us into doing that kind of stuff ourselves. So this is what Paul is talking about here in this letter. He's talking about this situation in Corinth. And he's telling the people, forgive this guy. Love him. Let him know that he's loved. "I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him." Pretty clear. Let him know, "Hey, we don't want you gone. We want you here. We don't hate you. We love you." See, discipline, in order to work, has to come out of love. If it doesn't come out of love, it's called punishment. And it needs to stop when there's repentance. Not when we think that there's been enough repentance, but when there is repentance. How do we measure that somebody has repented enough? Seriously. Anybody got a scale that can measure that? I really have problems with that. But when somebody truly... Remember, what is repentance? It's turning from sin and turning towards God. So as soon as you've repented as much as it's possible to repent. Because it's turning. It's the process of turning around. You were going towards sin, now I've turned around and I'm going the other way. Now you can walk farther away from sin, yes. But you can only turn around once. If I keep turning around, I'm just spinning in circles. How about you? But I get dizzy when I do that. If we force somebody else to do that, you know what? They get spiritually dizzy. They get disoriented, and it ends up, again, even open doors for the enemy to get in there. So when the church brings discipline, when we bring discipline in our private lives, when we even do it in work settings, you can use the Christian principles at work, people. They do work. It is appropriate. It is correct. In fact, it's the way God tells us to live our lives. Well, how can I do that? Well, discipline out of love. Well, what's love? Selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another person. You're doing what's best for them. You're trying to help them be a better employee. You're trying to help people. If you're trying to help somebody, you're doing what's best for them as opposed to seeking what's best for me, seeking to satisfy my own selfish desires, my desire to get revenge. I don't need that. You know, get up behind me, Satan. What's that? Instead, what we need is to follow God. See, discipline should encourage and not discourage. It requires that it be brought in an environment of love. Paul says, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. See, if we hold on to the animosity, if Paul was holding on to that, it just eats us up. Get away from the monitor.
Yes.
It eats us up when we do that, when we hold on to it. But for our sake, Paul is forgiven. So that we can forgive like he forgave. Because he's forgiving like he saw Christ forgive. Paul says, as I follow Christ, follow me. Okay, that's a quick paraphrase, but you know what? That was what he said, his intent. Paul told us that as we're to follow him as he follows Christ. And this is what Jesus did on the cross. He forgave. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What Paul's doing here isn't something new. It's following the footsteps of Christ. And this is what we're encouraged to do. To follow in those same footsteps of Christ. Okay, questions for you. Are you doing this in your private lives? Are you doing this at home? Between husband and wife, between parents and children, between adult children and adult parents, between your friends, cousins. Are you doing this at work? Are you behaving in such a manner at work? Or do you have one rule set of rules for forgiveness at home and another set of rules for forgiveness at church? Maybe you got a third set of rules for forgiveness at work and church. So you got work, church, home. Okay, I know I'm, remember, don't listen to what I said, but what I mean. Okay, when I do the morphographical error thing. So, are you doing this at home? Are you doing this at work? Are we doing this here in the church corporate? The body of Northbrook. We're supposed to. It's our goal. It's our desire. This isn't just some interesting thing that we can see that Paul forgave somebody back there. This is a letter telling us this is what we're supposed to be doing here right now. And not just here in the church, but in our personal lives and in our public lives. You see, we're not supposed to have one set of rules at church, another set of rules at home, and a third set of rules when we're out away from church and home. We're supposed to have one set of guiding principles. They're right here. Forgiveness, love, compassion, mercy, God's grace. We need to do this because when we don't, we open ourselves up to attacks from the enemy. People, we don't want those open doors. Not those kinds of open doors. The open doors we want are to God and His love. And when we hold on to the animosity and desire for revenge and desire to just get a little more, we close the doors to God and we open the doors to the enemy. But when we forgive, we close the doors to the enemy and we open the doors to fellowship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the encouragement that comes from the example of Paul here in Corinth. Lord, help us to forgive and restore people. Lord, might we not just hold on to our anger and feed it and cause it to grow and become an all-consuming passion within us. But instead, Lord, may we forget it as if it was never there. Lord, some of us have real issues in this in the past. Lord, I just ask right now that for each and every one of us who got a stronghold in this area, right now, Lord, You'd send Your Holy Spirit and just break that stronghold in our hearts, where we would give up that anger, that place where we hide our anger, where we store it, where we feed it. Lord, just wash it away. Lord, might we give it up. And instead, Lord, might You bring Your peace and Your presence. And Father, might we have love one for another. And might we be able to forgive and bring into restoration those with whom we've had difficulty. Lord, might we bring discipline only from a place of love, with a desire to restore. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.